This is the Bucks Talk Podcast, coming back with Kevin Riley and Kevin Gardner. This is going to be a trade deadline special where we break down the trades, see what we like, how much we gave back in those trades. We're going to look at the upcoming schedule. The Pirates riding a pretty hefty, I wouldn't say win streak, but favorable wins to losses. Their record has been great since the All-Star break, and obviously the six-game win streak going into the All-Star break. And then we'll look at the standings. The Cardinals won today, so they pulled ahead to be even with the Pirates. So with that, we will talk about the trades. The Pirates, our last podcast was before the win streak, and we both predicted that they would be sellers. They were, in fact, not. In fact, they didn't sell anybody on the current roster and didn't have to give up just one major league talent in the trades. They went out and got Keone Kella from the Rangers closer, and they got Chris Archer. So we'll start with Keone Kella. Obviously, this bullpen got stronger. They've essentially got two starting closers in the back end of this bullpen. So what are your thoughts? What do you think about Kella?
Kella, I like him. I think he's a great addition. I honestly didn't really know who he was until that Cleveland series. You had brought him up to me. Don't pay much attention to the Rangers out there in Texas. But, I mean, his stats are, you know, they're shut down for as much as you can be shut down in playing in a place like Texas where it's a hitter's paradise. So I think getting out of that division, which is just absolutely loaded with not only offensive talent but offensive-minded ballparks, coming to Pittsburgh, he's going to – I'd say – I don't want to make any, you know, I'll make a prediction. I'll say he's going to kind of, he'll obviously fill in there for the ninth inning when Vasquez isn't available. And I would say probably make him, swap him and Kyle Crick in and out of the eighth inning. So now I think the eighth inning is a little fluid, even though Crick has been shut down in that. It's a great move because he's going to be here for the next couple years. And like I said, on the trade deadline, it's, you know, 5-6 inning game most night now with Rodriguez, Santana, Crick, Vasquez, and now Keone Kella. Do we even need long men anymore? Because, I mean, that's going to, you know, give each one of those guys a one inning when it's tied or close or we're ahead. And we got a good shot to win late in games now.
I think the Pirates kind of agree with you with this trade. In fact, a good segue into our next trade was Chris Archer. I think they agree in the fact that we really only have one long arm reliever in Stephen Brault. They shipped Tyler Glasnow obviously off to the Rays for Chris Archer. So really, the only long reliever we have is Stephen Brault. I don't anticipate them bringing somebody up. Of course, if there's an injury or somebody misses a start, then you might just call up a spot arm. And obviously maybe when the rosters expand in September. But yeah, they are full of just electric arms everywhere up and down the roster, from Rich Rod to Kyle Crick, and then obviously Felipe Vasquez on the back of that, and adding Kella just completely bolsters a bullpen that was pretty formidable before the trade. And I like that you thought that the bullpen will be fluid from the 8th and 9th, depending on who's sitting on a certain night, but it will be interesting to see how Hurdle handles this bullpen. If he will go with the Kella Vasquez in the 8th and 9th in big games, or if he'll save Kella for games that Vasquez is projected to start or close, obviously. I think having Crick and Kella allows Hurdle to not have to be as critical and perfect with his bullpen decisions. So this trade's huge. They did give up Taylor Hearn, who I liked. We got him back in the Mark Melancon trade, where we got Vasquez as well. I like Taylor Hearn. He's projected right now to be a fringe three starter in a rotation, and perhaps not even make it to the rotation, maybe be a bullpen arm like Vasquez. He's a hard-throwing lefty that throws about 100, but obviously to get good in, you've got to trade good out. So the Pirates got a closer that's controllable through 2020, and I will add the last thing is the Pirates possibly have one, like, a top five closer against righties and lefties. Kella has been absolutely shut down. I think batters are batting like 110 against him this year. And obviously, Vasquez against lefties is just a nightmare. So he can play the lefty-righty game if he chooses to. I did see someone speculate on the MLB Network that Hurdle might use Vasquez in an Andrew Miller-type role, where Andrew Miller came over from the Yankees as an eighth-slash-closer. So it's interesting. I can't wait. I heard that he'll be here on Friday, as well as Chris Archer makes his first start. So with that, what do you think about the Chris Archer trade?
Mixed on it, to be quite honest with you. Had they made this exact trade 2 years ago, I'd have been all for it. No questions asked. Ken Rosenthal predicted it 2 years ago. Chris Archer for Tyler Glasnow and Austin Meadows. That's exactly what he predicted back in 2016. Chris Archer, believe it or not, has been in the league since 2012. Doesn't seem like it's been that long. This season, he's got a 3-5 record with a 4.31 ERA. He's made 17 starts. He's gotten 200 innings each of the last 3 years and 194 minimum innings every year since 2014. So he's going to be a horse there for you, especially now getting out of that American League East, which is, you know, just as we said, as I said with, you know, that American League West, there's just loaded with offensive talent and, you know, just hitter's paradises there in Fenway and Yankee Stadium in Baltimore. Chris Archer, he was an all-star last year. He's obviously not had the same kind of numbers this year. I like it because he gives us now a name that people know, that people have seen him have talent. He's a two-time all-star. He finished third in Rookie of the Year voting in 2013 in the American League. He was fifth in Cy Young voting in 2015. I'm not hugely excited about giving up Austin Meadows, but like as you said, to get talent, you obviously have to give something up. Not huge on it because now this puts all the pressure on the Pirates front office to go out and sign Corey Dickerson, and it really puts the ball in Dickerson's court. Now he can ask for just about anything he wants, and he deserves it because he's had just an absolutely, you know, stud year. He's projected to come back into the lineup off the DL tomorrow night, Saturday night. But so not only does it put the pressure to sign Dickerson, you know, we gotta get him in, but that also puts the pressure on him because he's got to now produce into his 30s, and the Pirates have never been one to go after 30-year-old veterans in free agency. They don't like to do that, and when they do, it really hasn't worked out, as you can see with Francisco Liriano and Ivan Nova has been less than what they paid for him, really, in my opinion. Also, way too much faith in Gregory Polanco, albeit he is just hot as day right now. And if they have faith enough for him to keep that up in the coming years, go ahead, but it puts some pressure now on Dickerson and the front office.
Well said. There's not much to add to that, as always. Great breakdown. I guess I'll start with Polanco. That was my major fear. Anytime you give up your number one prospect who plays a position where you have a bat struggling, such as Gregory Polanco. Basically, the whole reason that Meadows was brought up was during Polanco's kind of skid there for the little bit, and he tore the cover off the ball. His first five games, he was just unreal. He tapered off a little bit, and then his last 10 games, he was reduced to a pinch-hitting role where, you know, he found one at-bat a night, maybe two or three. So Meadows, I think he's going to be very good. I think he would have been good at the Pirates, and the trade scares me for two things. They, like you said, they're both trusting Polanco to produce at least at replacement level of what Austin Meadows was. They're trusting either Dickerson or somebody to be named, and I'll add that they don't have a minor league outfielder that is able to take over one of those spots. Jordan Luplow is not it, and they don't have anybody else that's ready for next year at least. So it's either Dickerson, they rely on some unproven talent in the minors, or they go out and sign somebody. And when you talk about the Pirates, the last thing you expect them to do is go out and sign somebody. I'm scared for that reason. The second reason is this just rumor mill and headlines that Clint Hurdle has started saying that the player to be named later in this trade is significant. Now, I don't know if that's Hurdle just sealing the deal on that trade basically just saying, hey, Rays, you got somebody good from us, when really he doesn't. I don't know if he's bluffing, but if this turns out to be somebody like Cabrian Hayes, or God forbid it's Mitch Keller, I'll immediately hate this trade. Now, being optimistic, Chris Archer is somebody I've always liked. I like his stuff. He's a great kid, as you can see. Showed up to the airport, bought an Antonio Brown jersey, said all the right things. He sounds like a great kid, and the city's already taken him in, much like Corey Dickerson. So, which they were teammates. They've got a good rapport, so that's cool to see. Now, he's got to perform. Obviously, this fan base right now is, show me what you've done for me lately. They're not going to take a couple bad starts. They'll immediately label the trade as a bust. So I feel bad because he does have to produce, and I think he will. His numbers have been down, but like you said, he plays in the AL East. He's coming over to a generally pitcher-friendly park with PNC. So I think he'll be all right. His FIP is lower than his ERA. He's got an under 4 FIP when you look at it like that. I think he'll be good. I think he's probably their best pitcher right now, if you want to take Trevor Williams' hot starts and streaks with a grain of salt. But I like the trade. Like you said, it's way too late. They should have done this 2 years ago when they were tied to it. We would have gotten two more years of control with him, plus familiarity with Ray Searidge and the coaching staff, and perhaps a little better wild card performances sprinkled in there. But Chris Archer, Keone Kella, I'm excited to watch them tomorrow. Hopefully we get to see both of them pitch. That'd be pretty cool. I know you're going to the game, so that'll be fun to hear back on what you see.
Oh, I like that. One more thing to that, and you mentioned the fan base. You know, obviously, if you've watched any games, and, you know, people have still tuned in to the games. I think I read that they were something like the fifth highest TV ratings in the major leagues, or something high. There's been a lot of empty seats. This now gives fans a reason to kind of show up, because, you know, they didn't show up because Cole and McCutchen were gone, and they said this front office, they're not investing in the team. This is stupid. It's not worth the time. It's not worth the money. Not worth the hassle. Well, now they've gone out and gotten two guys who have proven themselves in the major leagues to fill needs that we had, the bullpen and the starting rotation. So I would, at the very least, this weekend we're facing division rival Cardinals. I'd like to see some pretty big crowds from that. You know, the players did their part. They were challenged and said, don't go 4-4 before the All-Star break. Neil Huntington did. Well, they went like 7-0. Or 8-1, something like that, or 7-1, and then 8-4 since the All-Star break. So the Pirates on the field have done their part, and I'll give the front office the benefit of the doubt on this for now. They've done their part. Now it's up to the fans. We've got to start showing up. Like you said, I'll be there, hoping to see a W, put a little distance between the Cardinals, but this should at least give the fans a reason to show up and believe in the front office for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll look forward to those scheduled games. So tomorrow night, they open their series against the St. Louis Cardinals. They've got a 3-game stretch. The Pirates are 14 of their last 18 they've won from St. Louis. They've got a West Coast trip out to Colorado, then San Fran and Minnesota, all away games. Now, San Fran has been pretty bad. Minnesota obviously just sold high on all of their team. And Colorado has been hit and miss. Obviously, the bats fly out there. We'll see the ball carry a little better out in Coors Field. Let's hear your thoughts on this St. Louis series. Obviously, pretty big. They've got to at least win 2 of 3, I would imagine. Get a little bit of breathing room from the Cardinals. What are your thoughts looking ahead of this schedule?
Right. I mean, obviously, ideally, you know, best case scenario, just knock the door off of the Cardinals, sweep them. You know, kind of put good distance between us and them and kind of knock them out of the race, because they sold a player. They sold Tommy Pham at the deadline. Yep. So they're not what they used to be, but what you can realistically expect is 2 out of 3. That would be important. That'd get us to 4 games over .500 going into this West Coast trip. And you never like to go out on the West Coast because, one, you can't watch the games because it's always too late. And for the player's perspective, it screws with them with the time difference, and going out west is hard. Chris Archer is going to be pitching Friday. I would guess he would be pitching the 3-10 game against the Rockies on Wednesday the 8th. So there's a decent chance he might get shelled there. Honestly, he's got great stuff, but it is Coors Field and ball flies out of the park there. You need to win 2 out of 3 against the Rockies. They're fighting for the wild card just like we are, as are the Cardinals. You need to win 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals. You need to win 2 out of 3 against the Rockies. And the Giants are kind of a little farther. You know, they're not going to make the playoffs. Tough division. They got to climb even more teams than we do. Is it unrealistic to say you want to win 3 out of 4 in San Francisco? It might be, but San Francisco isn't what they used to be, much like the Cardinals. Minimum, you got to split. And then in Minnesota, you got to win you got to win both. It's a 2-game series. You got to win each game. And so if everything goes as is, or goes, as I said, 2 out of 3 in Colorado, and then split in San Francisco, that's 4-3, and then sweep the Twins, that's 6-3. It's a 6-3 road trip. You gotta go 6-3 should be the goal. And if you don't, then I'd say kind of that's probably the lid on the season. If they go 4-5 or even 5-4, that's probably the lid on the season. They're not gonna make a lot of noise in the division, especially, and the wild card. But the nice thing I can say, even if they don't make the wild card this year, we have a direction now. The goal is these next 3 years with Kella and with Chris Archer. So at the very least, the front office has given us, this is their time frame now. So if not this year, I would expect some big things next year, which is one aspect of the trades I did like. Obviously, you still want to make a playoff this year, even if it's just a wild card. It's funny, 2 years ago, we were lamenting the wild card. We hated it. We didn't want to be in it. We were sick of it. We wanted the division. And now we're like, shoot, give us a wild card. You know, we'll take it. So I'd say 6-3. That's what I'm hoping for. And 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals. So that would put the whole record for that stretch at 8-4. That'd be a good stretch.
I agree. And I will note the Pirates website has actually Nick Kingham penciled in for that last Colorado start.
Looks...
I mean, it's not to say that Kingham won't be sent down tomorrow and a bat called back up, or, you know, another long reliever, maybe Clay Holmes. But they do have the kid who never pitched before last night. I can't think of his name, but he got in for the first time. He made his debut.
Oh, McCray? Alex McCray.
Yeah. So they do have an extra bullpen arm up following the Glasnow trade. So it'll be interesting to see what they have Kingham. He is penciled in for that Wednesday start, which means Archer would start Thursday against San Fran, which I don't know. If they move Archer up one, he'll get Minnesota anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter. Yeah. So we'll see if Kingham starts there or if Archer does. I like to note that the downside of Chris Archer has been his fastball. His velocity's been there, but he's gotten hit pretty hard with his fastball this year. I know the Pirates like to throw fastballs generally, the way they coach. So we'll see if Racier can get a little more movement out of his fastball, or maybe pinpoint his locations a little better. I think you hit it on the head. 6-3 would be great. I would really like to see them ultimately win 6 in a row against San Fran and Minnesota, but it's not easy to do. What the Pirates have done this year with 2 streaks like that, generally you don't see. So 6-3 would be good. I would much like them to win at the back half of the East or West Coast series to get hot for the Cubs. Right now they've got Hendricks and Lester penciled in there. And then I'm sure they'll see Cole Hamels again, who obviously shut the Pirates down last night. But yeah, all good points, and we'll see tomorrow, starting with St. Louis. So I'll let you break down the standings and where the Pirates are at, who's above them, what the other teams kind of did during the trade deadline as well, and I'll add and fill in the gaps.
All right, well, I'm just going to kind of skip over the division. I don't think the division is realistic. We're sitting, I believe, 7-7 out in the division. Our goal is for the wild card. Wild card, we're sitting 4 games out of second spot. Currently, Milwaukee has the first spot. They're 63-48. They have a two-game lead on Arizona and the Dodgers, who are currently tied for the NL West lead. So therefore, on the website, they're tied in the wild card teams. Surprising Atlanta, still 10 games over 500. No one really expected much out of them. I certainly didn't expect them to last as long as they have, still sitting at 57 and 47. Pirates have yet to go down there, I believe, this year. They do play Atlanta on their next homestand, the 20th through the 22nd of August. And like you said, Colorado, like we just talked about, we're playing them. We got a three-game set with them coming up next week. They lost today, like we said at the start of the podcast. They got walked off against the Cardinals, so the Cardinals are tied with us, and the Rockies are sitting 2.5 out, or 1.5, excuse me, 1.5 games out of the wild card, and 2.5 in front of us. So that makes that series in Colorado all the more important. Minimum, you got to win 2 out of 3. If you lose 2 out of 3, that's going to be a tough one to take, especially going into San Francisco, because even though they're down this year, it's still going to be tough to win 3 out of 4 in San Fran. Washington, they're kind of, just treading water still. They're a game over 500. Really, really disappointing season for them. Division leaders right now are Philly, sitting at 59 and 48. The Cubs, 62 and 45. And then, as I said earlier, Arizona and LA are tied for the West. Pirates got a 16% chance to make the playoffs right now. Again, I mean, I predicted at the start of the season 73 wins for the Buccos. They have 56 right now. So they're obviously way ahead of schedule for me. They're on pace right now. If they keep up this 514 winning percentage, that's an 83-win season. And I don't know a single Pirates fan that wouldn't take that after all the down seasons the last couple of years and the vitriol against the front office and all the whatnot and the trades. 83 wins would be – it wouldn't get you a playoff spot, but it's certainly something to build on, especially with these trades. We got a great bullpen now. I love the bullpen going forward for the next couple of years. But this road trip is going to be important coming up. And the homestand after that, when you got tests against the Cubs and the Braves. So we got some really massively important games if the Pirates want to make a playoff run come September.
Yeah, I think that the wild card is in reach. They've been a streaky team. It's just about where you get hot. You've seen, like you said, I don't think the Cubs are within reach. Their last couple years, they've had a slow start, and they finished extremely strong. The Cubs last year, I think, were the best team in baseball heading into the playoffs. The Brewers added a ton of bats with Mike Moustakas and Jonathan Scope, but I don't think either of them can pitch, so I don't really know where the Brewers are going with this. They don't have starting pitching. Their relievers have been pretty shaky this year. Even Knebel has not been great. So I think the Brewers are within reach. I think the Pirates are as good, if not better than them. You saw them sweep the Brewers right before the All-Star break. The Pirates, without a doubt, got better. This team didn't get worse after the trade deadline. I mean, you're essentially adding another trade acquisition, if you will, with getting Corey Dickerson back and a fully healthy Marte. That alone, the fact that they've been able to stay and tread above water with the offense says enough. So this is a good team. I think it's as good a team as they've had, including the playoff runs that they had. I don't think this team is if at all worse, if not better, than some of the teams that snuck into the wild card, especially at the back half of that 3-year stretch. So they've got the team to do it. The only thing that might hamper them is obviously injuries that you can't predict and the slow start to the season. So we'll see. Gregory Polanco needs to stay hot. The starting rotation needs to keep the games above float and not just give away games in the first 4 innings. If they can at least hand it off in the 6th with it being close, I like this offense's chance to get a run or two after the 5th. So my prediction is I think they will just miss out on the wild card game. I hope I'm wrong. I'm going to say they're 2.5 games out when it comes down to it, but hopefully I'm wrong. hopefully we see Chris Archer start that wild card game, and you never know with a one-game series.
Right. I mean, if Ray Searage can work his magic like we've seen with a lot of other pitchers before, I mean, who knows what we could get in Chris Archer? Because, I mean, we've seen what we obviously knew what you were getting in Tyler Glasnow at this point. You know, that could absolutely look like a steal if Glasnow just continues to be wild and erratic in Tampa, and Chris Archer just takes off under Ray Searage. Obviously, don't like losing Meadows, but if Archer can dominate, come in here and pull what a CC Sabathia did in 2008 with the Brewers, then we got a great shot at the wild card. I'm kind of with you though. I'm going to say 84 wins at this point. I'm going to say 84 wins. That'll be an 84 and 78 record. Is that right? No. 84 and 76, something like that.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah, 162 games. Not like I've been watching baseball all my life. I'm saying 84 and 76. That'd be a winning season. It'd be a definite plus.
I agree. Well, a fun, exciting weekend with new faces and new talent. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks.